Hey, Barney, soulmate, let me buy you a beer.
Okay, but I'm not your soulmate. I'm really more of a chum.
What about you, Lenny?
I'm a crony.
Carol?
I'd say acquaintance.
Godly
sympathizer.
Compadre.
Associate.
Contemporary.
I'm a well-wisher, in that I don't wish you any specific harm.
Questions we don't have answers. My name is Harrison Shute. Donovan Grant, how are you today?
Today I'm fine. Tomorrow, I'll probably be fine as well.
It's always a toss-up. Fine or probably fine. That is what it is to be an American in the modern age. Such as we go, cloistering ourselves away from the world for the moment on tonight's episode, which is, how do you make friends? So in this, we hope to kind of survey a kind of what if questions we don't have answers advice show. So all you crazy kids have written in and we're going to – no, we haven't done that. I mean, as broadly as I suppose we can go, but I think also inevitably there's going to be discussion about like – you know, this question in terms of making friends in the digital age and making friends as millennials and in this current cultural climate, things like that. How do we even maintain friendships? Communication being a constant theme throughout this podcast. So what does that look like when relationships are actually at stake, I suppose? How do you kind of disagree with somebody politically? All that kind of stuff may or may not be discussed. I don't know. I mean, this isn't really a tease of content because the content hasn't been created yet. It's more like these are ideas that we could possibly touch on. So yes. It's kind of more for us than you. But to that, Donovan Grant, how have you made friends over the years? Or what are some notable friendships that you would like to highlight in the early goings here?
Well, let us pray. let's see, friends. I think in pondering how this episode might go, you know, in the vast infinity of possibility, generally with this podcast, we want to try to attempt to solve some sort of problem. And I think with friendship, it's the idea is, you know, communication and education at its final level, you know, kind of connectivity. So I think of, you know, okay, well, I've never been somebody who says I don't have any friends, like even as a joke, because I feel that like, that sounded a lot more braggadocious than I meant it to be, but like
you have 1,000 friends
on the place that counts, social media. No, but like I think that like whenever I think back to my personal history and whenever I've gone, let's say for instance, like from a class to summer camp to visiting a friend's house and, you know, meeting people to like social functions or whatever, commonalities is the common denominator there. And I think that it doesn't have to be more complicated than that. I think as we move forward tonight, something that we could solve is how do friendships get lost, or how do friendships, you know, kind of fade away in a space that goes beyond, you know, going from one school to another or whatever. How can we keep friendships when they're tested? How can we make friends of enemies? It might be another scenario.
What? Why do we do that? Why bother?
Why not just kill them?
Exactly.
But with me, I think I just think that it's just common ground, or at least something that we like to see, something that we appreciate in another person. It's not so much difference. It starts off with similarities. And from similarities, we learn to appreciate differences and celebrate differences and kind of even maybe even subconsciously seek those types of differences in other people. Like for you and me, I think was inevitable for this episode. Like I heard your Ghost in Shell episode of Battle Beyond Planet X. Loved it. So I said, okay, well, what else has he done? And at that point, I think you had only done like half a dozen episodes. So,
oh, yeah.
So like I listened to your, I think right after that was like your Kill la Kill episode, because you had just discovered that show, then your Ava episode. Both shows at that point I had not yet seen, but because of I really liked listening to your podcast, I checked those out, loved them, continued to listen on, and no matter what the topic was, I always enjoyed listening to you. And then eventually you know, I gave you some feedback. You kind of respond. You know, we had me on your show a couple of times, and we struck a rapport that I think shared appreciation in our thought processes. And, you know, from there, became regular correspondence and online friendship to us deciding to, we should do a podcast together. And, you know, and then about 6 months ago, we actually met for the first time.
Yes.
Which is like a year after this podcast.
And it was recorded on this podcast.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. In the privacy of a hotel restaurant.
So awkward. That was our hentai episode.
No regrets. I've actually been meaning to listen back to that. But
it's pretty good.
I think if you're, you know, and of course this is a scenario where, you know, you have your own perspective on it, but like we have different specialties. You know, you're a sci-fi guy. You know, you like your Korean films. I think you're a bit more adept in action than I am, although that's probably our closest, you know, connectivity. You know, I go from podcast to podcast, yelling about comic books. I am familiar in, like, you know, black film and, you know, black actors from here or there, but it's not nearly something to really brag about. But we have special interests that are not. I think we have more differences than similarities, but from those differences, we find a lot of interest. Like, you know, I think we've mentioned, if not on this podcast and other stuff we may have done for other websites, that after we do the show, we tend to just shoot the shit for like an hour or two about stuff that we are interested in, which are basically movies and stuff. So I think that, like, that example of friendship to me demonstrates that it's much easier than I think people tend to to think about. And I don't know. I mean, that's not to say that, like, with every person that I know, it's a Harrison Chute level friendship, because I think ours is pretty special. But it is similar. There are enough similarities to kind of have a baseline for. And I think from there, it can be seen as. I mean, you know, we certainly don't come from different political ideologies. That's not that wasn't the case. But I think we've taught each other a lot. And there's been, I would say that, like, I probably learned the most useful information from you than I have other friends in the last few years, because other information I've learned from friends have been kind of like trivia and stuff. So, but I think that, like, the example of us can be seen as your average, ideal, positive, you know, friendship. And I think like the worst case scenario would be, like, I don't know, becoming, you know, being inducted into some sort of cult, which I guess the jury's still out on that for us. And the best case scenario would be education and learning different people and getting to know different people and respecting them. And not to say that I was, like, racist against, you know, Asian Americans who were adopted before, but, you know,
that'd be awesome.
The secret shame. But you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I think that, like, it invites an appreciation of difference at the basic, the optimal height of a new friendship. But I've reached the 9-minute mark. I've babbled far enough. What is your opening salvo for this?
It's interesting, actually, that you kind of position us, the Q&A crew, as a kind of an abstract for ideal. I totally agree with, but it's interesting, especially to me, when I kind of think about our friendship from, like, the perspective of me when I was maybe like 10 years ago. And I just never would have imagined that, like, you know, I would have this relationship with a guy who I only meet potentially once a year now in person, because it's a very modern relationship, or friendship, I should say.
Yes. Yeah. Very 21st century.
Right. Yeah, totally. And it's also, I mean, there's that element, there's the internet social media element, and then there's also the interest element, which you touched on. And, To a layman, I suppose, to somebody who isn't a nerd, which is pretty much nobody at this point, I guess, but perhaps somebody who doesn't really understand, like, the nuances of nerddom, like, you would hear Donovan and I talk about anime, and you would think that we have, like, but they're just two nerds, like, they just talk, they have, like, one-to-one sync rate, a la that show, what is it, Neon Genesis Razaphon?
Take that, anime.
but I think that we actually kind of, we demonstrate that, I don't know, I don't want to say, like, oh, the power of friendship, but we do have, like, a lot of differences, as you mentioned. And I think that it's, like, it's weird because I feel like part of the mutual education has also been that kind of trivia as well, because it is kind of shocking in retrospect how much difference we had coming in. Whereas, like, I mean, you could hear me talking about superheroes on early episodes of the podcast, and I was like, I was really upset about the superhero genre. I think by like 2008, which is kind of when it began in earnest.
It's also understandable.
I mean, superheroes and zombies. I mean, you're not really a zombie guy, but I had like a lot to learn about that genre. And for you, science fiction, I suppose. I mean, we both had like kind of a base understanding of either one, but I mean, anyway, like, shit, what was I going to say? I don't know. I got nothing.
Well, the difference is, I think, is one thing, because, like, again, we have our kind of nerdy similarities, and I think that's a similarity that we can, you know, that ideal that good nerds can appreciate. Like, I was never, like, I mean, even though I've mentioned Star Trek, of course, now and Star Wars, I was never really that kind of guy growing up, and I think that kind of bled itself out to sci-fi in general. I mean, I never really thought that Star Trek and Star Wars were sci-fi. That's all the sci-fi there is too. But to me, it was like, I'm not really a huge fan of those, so I don't see how I can be a fan of anything else, like Terminator, like Matrix, like 2001: Space Odyssey, which I know nothing of. Like your average sci-fi classics. So listening to you talk about like the Alien versus Predator movies or Terminator. I mean, I remember your two Terminator episodes. That is some of the most pissed off I've ever heard you discuss.
Yeah, of all things, it's that.
Which is funny, but it's just like kind of like how you kind of went about expressing your disgust or whatever. And I think that's that kind of thing, because like if someone can kind of, it's sort of like learning a different language in a way. If someone can kind of break it down in a way, in a mathematical equation you can understand, then it's interesting. It's like podcasts for me in general is like sort of like the major thing that I discovered within the last decade. In fact, 2008. It's definitely, yeah, it's been about 10 years since I started listening to podcasts in general. Like the idea was just amazing to me, and just kind of listen to people really talk about stuff that's like not technical dialogue, like a basic radio show about facts, something that was like NPR, but something that talked about something that's interesting. For me, it was like, you know, Spider-Man and comic books, and then eventually like James Bond, and then Doctor Who, just like stuff that like I didn't necessarily, it went from like stuff that was my core interest to something that like, oh, this is kind of interesting to learn about from people who are enjoying it, that kind of way. And I think that you are the latest in a series of major relationships I've had from podcasts, like I mention them all the time, but like, you know, my friends Stella and Josh, we met going to San Diego Comic Con, but we had corresponded from podcasts before then. And like, I mean, I would say the closest friendships that I have are all people who are you know, kind of live across America and to some extent the world. I mean, of course, I still have buddies from high school. I still have, you know, I have cousins and stuff, and I have, you know, friends that I've made from work, absolutely. But I think, like, you know, my longest conversations and my deepest conversations and shared interests and, like, the friendships to me that matter really are yourself and the aforementioned people I met through podcasts, because not only do we, even though we meet very rarely throughout the year, we talk often, and we often talk about things that matter to us the most. And I think that, like, that's not necessarily... I think to me, that actually suggests a belief that I've held perhaps longer than my affiliation with podcasts, is that I really think that it's more likely you'll find somebody with common interests that's not necessarily next to you, because if you find somebody that's so close to your interests, like whether it's a, you know, significant other or a friend or whatever, you would have found that person sooner than not if they were like right next to you, unless it's some sort of like, you know, cosmic, you know, happenstance of writing. But like, you know, like you were from is it Mississippi? No, it was
Massachusetts.
Massachusetts, it was an M. you know, now you live in L.A., and, you know, my friends live in Florida and Virginia and what have you. I've even had some friends live in, like, U.K. and stuff. That, to me, is much more likely in terms of, you know, people who have shared similar interests but are not always in the exact same place, because I've been, you know, sentenced to the South for, like, 20 years. so, I don't know. That, to me, speaks to, like... You've talked before about the whole, like, you know, Fry and Leela thing, where like Fry had to meet somebody 3,000 years in the future, whatever, how many years in the future, 1,000 years in the future, who was, you know, was a mutant with one eye, to, like, find somebody who was this one true love. That kind of, like, those odds are astronomical, but like they speak to, I think, a truism of mankind's propensity to find commonalities in the other, in one way or another, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, but it is very much based on mutual interests, and in there's definitely a temptation to kind of analogize this to dating. In the modern age, especially where you have online dating has become such a norm. And I remember there was a conversation on a podcast. I mean, podcasts are just like, it's the currency of life for losers. I don't know. But I remember they were talking about how that has become a norm. And basically these two guys were, I think, married, or both married to different women at that time. And well, the one guy had met his wife through podcasts and common interests, and then the other guy, I think he met his wife in college. So it's kind of that tradition versus progress or you know, modern or whatever. And the guy who met his wife through college was saying that, like, you know, online dating is really cool, and I'm glad that that's happened for people. But if I was just about looking for somebody with mutual interests, I wouldn't have met my wife. And so I think that it's not necessarily so fatalistic for friendships, or that one thing is worse or better than the other. But I will say that when you are necessarily putting interests first, that is how you kind of close yourself off to a potentially more profound kind of other. I mean, granted, interest and you know, nerd stuff is a kind of good inroad to opening minds, especially when it's like, it's so related to like media criticism and you know, I react to videos and talking about these things and working through them in a way that it has also just become so normalized and so democratized on YouTube and Twitter, and working those same analytical muscles in your head, head muscles. But I mean, you do kind of run that risk of building your Twitter account, which is just you follow people that you like, and people that you like ideally follow you. But how then do you kind of meet other kinds of people, I guess?
Well, suppose in that way, it's just kind of like the growing intensity. It's almost like a dating sim in a way. Like the only one that I've come close to playing is Harvest Moon, whereas that's about building a farm. But like, yeah, getting married is part of it. So like there is like not so much a harem, but like, you know, like five girls you could care to kind of pursue, and they all have, like, you know, different heart meters and stuff. I think it's similar in that way, in which you kind of choose to involve yourself with that person. Like I have a couple people who like just listen to my stuff on Facebook, but I've not really talked to them on voice or whatever. In fact, like you know, tease like how many friends we might have on Facebook, but yeah, the majority of them I or at least half of them I probably don't know as much because of that. The other half is, like, you know, people from school and stuff. But yeah, I mean, I think that, like, it is sort of that kind of that magnetism of interest, I suppose. And I think that that's something that for all the, you know, times we can kind of say the internet sure does suck, that is something that it kind of narrows down our interests in a way. It kind of specifies it. But the difference is too, I think that's that's a good point to kind of bring up. You know, opposites do attract, and kind of bring in things that you wouldn't necessarily find yourself trying out. Like, case in point, like when Jan first showed me, what was that show? it's like the Moe show that turned out to be much darker than
Madoka Magica.
Madoka Magica. I remember the first episode two. I was like, okay, I mean, this is really not, you know, my thing, but it's alright for what it is. And then episode three is like, holy shit! it's that kind of thing where, like, you never know how it's going to kind of turn out. Or like something like The Thing, where, like, you know, that's okay, that's a horror movie, and I'm sure it's good, and I just kind of try. And then also she showed me that as well, and I loved it. That kind of a kind of very basic trying new interests kind of thing. It's sort of like our past episode, trying new genres, which is interesting. So, I mean, I don't know, when I think back to, like, friends, like, other friends that I've made, I guess in terms of, like, in person, I'm thinking of, like, school, I'm thinking of work, I suppose, yeah, work, I guess, really, work when I was in high school, basically, where it's kind of a very similar thing, you know, like, we're all going to school, even though it's maybe not the same school, we're kind of going through all the same kind of things, and the same kind of, you know, social anxieties, or whatever. I think that would have been basically it. I've never really met somebody, like, you know, in line at a grocery store or something like that, and like been a friend with them. And of course, I'm not mocking that possibility. I mean, to your point about, like, you know, the two people who got married, like, I think about, I have my friend, my co-host Jesse at the Next Dimension DBZ podcast. We did that show for 4 years, and in the middle of that show, he met somebody online, fell in love, got married, and they're now, I think she's pregnant with their second child. And it's that kind of thing. And that was like all within like a year or two. And that was, to me, like, wow, it's strange to kind of see that really happen through online, as opposed to, I had a couple of classmates who started dating, I think, in the second year of 10th grade, like the sophomore year of high school. And they're like, they got married and they're still together, like, now as of our recent 10 year anniversary of our 10 year reunion. And it's one of those things where, like, I guess you never really can kind of predict how friendships can kind of turn out. I remember when I met you, you had said it was really surreal because you had never met somebody online. And I experienced the exact same thing when I first met Stella, because, like, I think she's actually the first person I would have met online. Like, we actually met on the plane to San Diego, and, like, it was the trippiest, most surreal thing in the world. Matching the voice and everything.
Yeah.
But what do you think about in terms of, like, you know, like that type of, like, friendship versus a face-to-face interaction?
I'm just wondering if there's something there. You were definitely the first person that had ever happened to me. The earlier note too about, like, our friendship just being so strange to a younger me, like, I mean, I think both of us had a pretty similar or relatively similar experience growing up, where we were pretty, in terms of just our race, pretty hardcore minorities growing up in the towns that we did.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think there were like four other Asian kids throughout my whole class. My best friend growing up was my next door neighbor, which is kind of like the ultimate opposite to what you and I are, which are, you know, before the internet, like, we never ever would have met. I mean, maybe like through like conventions or something. I mean, I do agree with you that there is some kind of determination that nerds will just have a better chance of meeting. But the internet definitely facilitated. But, you know, me and my next door neighbor, like, we could not have been more different. You know, I was an archetypal nerd, and he was an archetypal jock, basically just like an athlete.
Okay.
And it was really weird, like, growing up with this guy. It was interesting because, I mean, it was kind of, I don't know, like, in retrospect, like, it's just kind of, it's weird to me that we were so different, and yet a lot of our characters kind of became diffuse. I don't know necessarily that I became more like a jock or anything like that. I definitely became, or he definitely helped me kind of be more of a dick, I think, sometimes.
What do you mean?
It's a long story. But I also kind of sensed in him a kind of a gravitation towards nerdery, which, I mean, maybe he would have done that anyway, I don't know. But I think that for him, it was just easier to be more open about, you know, being a Star Wars fan. Like, that was his thing. And playing video games that weren't just Call of Duty. Jesus Christ, I'm all over the place right now. I had a late night last night. I'll tell you about it after. But, God damn it, what were we talking about?
Were you guys, excuse me, I actually flew my mouth.
just gotta eat a burrito real quick.
Scarfing down my throat like Amethyst. I was gonna say, you and your neighbor friend, did you guys go to the same school? Were you of the same age? Like, was there any sort of similarities that you saw besides just being neighbors, or was that really it?
Oh, yeah, that's the other thing, too, is that we were the same age, and we for the first 4 years of school, we ended up in the same class every time, which to me, like, to my young kid brain, I was always like, oh, maybe our parents, like, pulled the strings behind the scenes, but I think it was just coincidence. That was the other thing, too, throughout school. Like, we weren't, our friendship, and this is going to sound really sad all of a sudden, so get ready, but our friendship was never kind of manifest in school. We had kind of like, we would go in together and then separate, basically. And I kind of developed my own circle of nerd friends, and he kind of, you know, he joined the baseball teams or whatever.
You meant secret?
I mean, yeah, essentially. It was forbidden friendship, which, no. No queer baiting on this Q&A.
Not yet.
Not yet. But, yeah, I mean, growing up, like, also, even with those nerd friends, like, it was that same principle of, like, nerds are just so different. Like, one of my oldest and bestest friends from that period, Steven, he was a nerd, but he was, like, really into, like, indie music, and he was a musician. And then there was Kenny, who I mentioned on the trans episode, and she was also kind of a musician, but a different kind of musician, so that's fun for me, who doesn't care about music at this point. And then there was my other buddy, my college roommate, who I mention a lot, and he was, like, the first guy ever who really was just like me. And it kind of made me realize that human individuals are not so distinct as that to where this couldn't possibly be. Like, you know, we were just similar. Like, it's kind of like you and I. Like, we didn't necessarily agree on big things, but the way we appreciated media, I think there was a lot of crossover there. Like you and I both like Ghost in the Shell. But, like, when we were talking about the new movie trailer, like, we hooked into the same things, like, the same, yeah, like, weird details that I feel like nobody else kind of would have. I mean, it was that kind of thing. And I remember, like, in freshman year, that was the first time I ever had a conversation with a person that was just, like, a nerd conversation for, like, a sustained period. Like, I felt like I was doing something illegal. Like, we were just talking about video games, like, the way I would hear other people talk about on podcasts. And I kind of realized that, like, I'd never had that in my life. And so I come from a very, like, in terms of just friendships, like, a very kind of, like, dry, we get along and we have a laugh, but there's just that interest thing was just never really a factor.
Hmm. I'm so sorry to hear that, but I know what you mean, where it's, like, the kind of, like, a shared interest kind of thing, because, like, I'm trying to think, when I was in public school, I remember kind of being, like, just, like, I had friends in the neighborhood, we all went to the same school, and it was very much, like, I won't say basic, but, you know, there was no real interesting element to it besides your basic kids going to school, you know, kind of going to grade school, kind of coming up. And then, like, when we moved and I went to Catholic school in, like, fifth grade, that was very different. And I honestly didn't expect it to be different. I remember my parents like, sat my brother and I down, like, okay, there's going to be a lot of white kids in this school. Is that going to bother you? And we're like, no, that's no big deal, because we had no perspective, of course. That
what's a white person?
Well, yeah, that's and, like, we actually had friends, like black friends, who learned that and said, I'd go crazy if there were more white kids. And I did not understand at the time. Of course, now it ruined my life. But I remember, like in fifth grade was, like, you know, was, like, the big Pokemon, Dragon Ball Z, like, you know, Toonami Gundam phase, and, like, I had friends who were in it, but, like, I remember, like, they would kind of get out of it by the next year, like by sixth grade, and that was kind of, like, stultifying. It's like, why am I still into this, but they're not, kind of thing, which was interesting. And, like, you know, I had some friends who would like that stuff, but they wouldn't want to really flaunt it as much. And that wasn't somebody who kind of, like, you know, wore costumes and stuff, but I never felt any impetus to hide it, like, you know, like people, like, they say, oh, let's go see X-Men 2, that's in theaters, and, like, I'll be talking, like, oh, I wonder if they're gonna, you know, do this comic story that I heard about, and they, like, have no idea what I'm talking about. It's like, but I thought we watched a cartoon and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, that's so sad.
I know, it was like slowly just expulsion from that. And
yeah,
and it's like, I mean, I would not have to be a nerd to find friends necessarily, you know, kind of the same, enjoying the same kind of perspectives, but, like, it would be only this sort of, like, agreed upon decorum of interaction kind of thing. Like I mentioned, this buddy of mine that I hold really dear in terms of our friendship. I mean, we are very different, but we connected on, like, you know, Simpsons and stuff. We kind of had the same perspective on things. And yeah, we're still very different, but I think that we've kind of grown up to understand, to really appreciate that sort of difference. And really, I would say that, like, before I got into the whole podcasting thing, college was kind of where I really had, like, friends who were a lot more appreciable, because the friends that I still carry from high school, you know, we're pretty different. We have our similarities and stuff. We kind of accept our differences. But, like, in college, I had friends who were, like, into the same music that I was in. And they were also from different places. They weren't from Nashville, Tennessee. They weren't from Tennessee, period. They were from, like, Rhode Island and California and Washington or whatever, they're a lot more like, I guess, northern in a way, but they could just appreciate, you know, like different rappers, or they would like have, they, like one guy, one friend of mine was a Star Trek fan, and he knew that I was a comic fan, and like, you know, we really talk about it, but we were like appreciate each other's enthusiasm for that kind of stuff, and like gonna go to used bookstores and stuff, and that was really to me, I mean, I love college, and that was really to me kind of like, we kind of had a crew, and we were all different guys, you know, we were like, you know, black and white and Native American and Indian or whatever. And it was that kind of, like, you know, early 90s, was it Benetton ad kind of thing, where, like, you know, we were kind of, like, very, very diverse, but we all kind of, we didn't care because we were away from where we came from. and then, like, you know, of course, beyond that was when I kind of got into podcasting and stuff like that, and I came back to, you know, into the workforce or whatever it's called. And, like, I think there's something to be said about leaving where you come from and kind of being exposed to different people, because I do think that can help you just understand how the world works better in terms of, like, from person to person, rather than just assuming that everything is just like it was in high school. And, you know, high school is what it is. It's not to necessarily kind of turn into, like, I hate high school kind of thing, but that really is sort of, you think you understand how things work, and then you understand that that's not really how things work. And it's hard to explain, but this is very much a difference of dimensionality in a way. And I still, I can't stress enough, like, you'll find similarities and differences with other people. I think that, like, I have friendships that have very much disintegrated that I really treasured from like 10 years ago or 15 years ago. And I think that's because of, like, not so much us growing apart, but us going to different schools in college and kind of being exposed to different things, and kind of becoming more of the person that either we always were, or the people that we were always going to end up becoming, like inevitably. Right. And, you know, we're still friends, but there's a much stronger, a much brighter line of differences that can, you know, kind of like have us end up at an impasse, which is unfortunate. You know, at some point, you know, like, man, this guy's a dick or whatever. in ways which you didn't see coming when you were 17. But you understand that, and you're not willing to, like, you know, kind of throw that away and kind of appreciate it for what it used to be, I suppose. Which I guess is a bit tragic, but, like, you know, it's like, it doesn't have to be a binary of, you know, we were friends and now we're not anymore. Now, unfortunately, I have had, I have lived a life where, like, you know, friends have become enemies.
Right. Yeah.
And that's actually much more common in the podcasting game, which is doubly unfortunate and sad and pathetic, and we can get into that momentarily. But, like, in the real world, you know, in, like, you know, the real, the, you know, as opposed to the Matrix, like, I think it's been more but good than bad, I think, in the kind of, you know, the lifespan of a friendship, and that might have to do with the difference. That might have to do with maturity. And that might have to do with just, you know, kind of happenstance. Like, do you think that, have you experienced, like, do you have friends who are vastly different than they were a decade ago, or have they just, you know, kind of stayed exactly the same no matter what?
I mean, I think I pretty much only have one kind of, like, lifetime friend. And we were never, like, super close. But he's pretty much the same guy. It's incredible. But he was always kind of a different kind of guy, like, just very hardworking, nose to the grindstone, I guess. And he's just never really changed. But also, like, this weird, like, party animal guy. Like, I don't get it. He's so extreme in that way. But anyway, yeah, so that's one. It's also worth noting that this just occurred to me. Back in, especially in the context of high school, and I suppose arguably even college, it is hard and practically impossible to unfriend someone because they're just always there. After you graduate college, maybe you move out of your hometown and you're on the internet, these new relationships, these new friendships are very easy to hit block or unfollow. Like, and I think that's kind of, not to be all like Black Mirror or like, you know, Baby Boomer, but like, I think that has kind of impacted our psychology a bit, to where we have a lower tolerance for people, and that's been good and bad. You know, just, I think it was like two nights ago, I was just scrolling through Twitter, as I do basically 24/7, which is like the worst the worst possible drug for me.
I'm getting so sick of Twitter.
Yeah, it's so awful. Yeah, my God. But I saw Aisha Tyler had tweeted something where she was like, yes, Aziz Ansari is guilty, and then like a few spaces of not being a mind reader. And I was like, God damn it. Like, Aisha Tyler, you were like one of the first person I ever followed on Twitter. I've always kind of liked you, even though I've never really I don't like feel strongly about the particular things you do because you don't update regularly, like podcasts. And
you ever watch The Talk?
I don't really watch The Talk. No, and she's not even on that show anymore.
Right.
But I was like, I mean, I guess I would unfollow her at that point. But I'm like, you know what? Fuck that. Just fuck that. Because people make mistakes. You know, like thinking about the friends we've had, like all the things we've forgiven, all the fights we've kind of resolved. I think we've kind of lost that. Not only just because of the tools of the kind of logistics and maintenance of friendships, but also I think something different, which relates to call out culture and all that fun stuff. But I mean, I've also kind of been thinking a lot recently about our capacity for not like forgiveness, but I think I guess kind of like giving somebody else or tolerating a dimensionality in somebody else. Like I was thinking about that, the feminist critic who wrote "We Should All Be Feminists," who I was particularly criticizing on that trans episode. But it's like, I mean, I'm always that person who says clemency. Like I freaked out at Ira Madison III, who's a guy who's one of those guys who always gets big retweets, and so he always appears. Who was talking about like it was like the night of the Golden Globes, and he was calling out Justin Timberlake, and he was like, "If you're gonna wear the Time's Up pin, then why were you in a Woody Allen movie?" And I was like, are you goddamn kidding me? Like, people make mistakes, and then they learn, and many people have since come out against Woody Allen.
Rebecca Hall, I think like the day after you and I were talking about her, probably on the podcast, but like she had this big Instagram post. Did you see that?
Yeah. She finally, because well, the problem was that J. Timbo and Rebecca Hall. What I didn't realize was that they were in a Woody Allen movie last year. That it was.
Oh, for God's sake!
Yeah, so, and that was really crushing. So I was like, "Yeah, okay, I flew off the handle there." But Rebecca Hall has since been like, "I deeply regret." I mean, because that's such a hard situation where that was her first kind of like big major film role was Vicky Cristina Barcelona, whatever. Mm-hmm. Arguably, she owes her career to Woody Allen. I'm sure that's how a lot of people feel. That's bullshit. She's such a good actress. She would have found her way anyway. This is not a Rebecca Hall podcast, although she is one of my friends. And you can't disprove that.
She'll be on the next episode.
Exactly. But, yeah, I mean, I guess that was a tangent, I think.
I think it was. But that's the show. I was going to say something about, like, in a similar way. I have a friend on Facebook who's, like, you know, really a friend of other people. He's a podcaster, and I don't think I've ever really talked to him, ever, besides maybe, like, happy birthday or whatever. But I know that, like, he's been on other people's shows, like Michael Bailey, who's a really good podcasting friend of mine, because he's like, a decade older than I am. He's kind of from that, like, kind of generation. And so he's, like, you know, he's in, like, the room. He's, like, you know, of that ilk. It's, like, I don't know. It's that kind of thing where it's like, you know, two superheroes who've never actually met, but, you know, they'll be in a group chat because they're both DC Comics or something like that. Yeah. It's that kind of thing. Like, in the past few days, I mean, I've not really followed him too much, but I've ascertained that, like, oh, I guess this guy's basically a kind of a hardcore conservative. Sure. It's like, I'll be posting some stuff because I'm just angry at, you know, my country, and he'll post these really smart-assed, kind of like mean-spirited comments where it's like, only a conservative would say this kind of thing.
Yeah, right.
So it's like, okay, that, you know, and I'm not, that to me is not saying, and for this reason I will block him, because I don't care. I don't think I've ever blocked anybody. I've been blocked, but, you know, I've since been, like, unblocked, and, like, I think that's a question that we were kind of going to get to in terms of, like, you know, cutting off friendships or whatever. And I think with Twitter, yeah, it's online social media. I mean, people, I remember when somebody, years back, like, two friends, one friend unfriended the other, and that person took it really seriously. I was like, what's the big deal? It's just, you know, a website. It's just Facebook. Like, I didn't really see in 2000, and I guess it would be 10 or 11, I didn't see the big deal about unfriending somebody. I didn't think that meant anything. You know, you're still friends. You can still do stuff. And now, I've somehow for one reason, I just understand it as, like, you know, a declaration of, you know, you're not a friend to me anymore. You're not, I don't like you. Basically, I don't like you.
Yeah.
It's not so much, I don't want to see what you're posting, or, you know, you kind of clog up my home timeline or whatever, because, like, I just do the mute button thing. But that's the kind of thing. And, it is interesting, because, like, you know, it's sort of like a silent, you know, kind of like pink slip or something, if you notice it. Yeah, and as you say, real life, we don't really have that luxury. We just kind of have fights and stuff, or just kind of, you know, kind of not really keeping in touch, where you, like, kind of see the person, oh, hey, how you doing? with celebrities, though, I mean, I don't... There's one guy that, like, was kind of, I mean, I like him, but he was just so... He's not really celebrity, he's kind of a YouTube guy, but he was just so kind of, like, kind of negative and sardonic on about anything that I just put him on mute. It's like, yeah. I don't necessarily, like, block him or whatever, but I just I can't see him speak anymore.
Yes, totally.
And I just kind of, I'll get to him when I get to him. But, like, I don't know. Like I think when I... When I lost friends, they were kind of more like, they weren't, it wasn't really like a major it wasn't something that I lost sleep over. Well, kind of. Well, no, that's true. Like, I did a podcast and for about 18 months back in 2010. It was me and my buddy Josh and a third guy. I think I told you this before, and it was a very successful show, and like really successful. It's one of the most, like, popular shows I've been a part of. And it was a thing where, like, we were doing it, and everything was fine, but slowly this guy kind of just really, you know, he would be very, very late editing the show and publishing the show. This is back before I knew how to do that. And, like, you know, the show would be kind of held hostage for months for whatever reason. And, you know, he's, oh, I spend time with my family. And then he would be posting Facebook statuses about, like, watching Dinosaurs or whatever.
What?
Like the sitcom Dinosaurs from the
90s. Oh, God.
Yeah,
I'm the baby. Gotta love me.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. As you might imagine, we were a little pissed.
Yeah. God, thanks for reminding me that show exists. That pisses me off.
This is the end of our friendship.
It's over. Dinosaurs.
But, you know, there was stuff like that, which is kind of like, you know, like, come on, dude. You know, kind of... have responsibilities towards this creative thing that we do together, and being responsible is sort of, you know, contributing to that friendship. And then he got really, really, really anti-theist. You know, it wasn't like, you know, this sort of, like, atheist thing, but it was really kind of like incendiary. He was kind of, like, basically posting statuses saying, well, if you're a Christian or a person of any faith, you're an idiot, and, you know, God heals babies and that kind of stuff. And this very kind of like amazing atheist-esque, like, kind of trolling. Yeah.
Richard Dawkins-esque.
Yeah, this stuff where this, like, it's not being informative or even expressing. It's just kind of being like a fucking troll, and, like, you know, we kind of it wasn't like he was, like, in a cult or whatever, but he was just for some reason just very unsympathetic towards listening to us, and it was a thing where, like as a result, the show just died, and we would try to kind of reconcile it once or twice, but, like, he was just never. And this is kind of a big thing, because he was older than Josh and I by a few years. So it was like, okay, this guy is of a certain age. Why can't he act like an adult? Why can't he be mature? And, like, of course, that's always, you know, in the eye of the beholder. But it was this sense of, I don't know, like you can. I think this is kind of connects back to, like, you know, kind of the online thing. You can express yourself, but expressing yourself shouldn't always be without regards to, I guess. Keeping relationships intact, because it kind of just comes off as just, like, kind of immature spouting. It's like, if you're not considering who you're talking to and just saying things, then you're not really caring about what you say, because you're not trying to tell anybody anything. You're just trying to, you know, kind of just shout at stuff. This is a topic that we come back to every now and then, and it's never ending. You know, in the Trump saga, it's always kind of, you know, inside, you know, it's kind of the monster inside of the ship. But this is the thing that, I mean, like, this is bad. I mean, I do remember, like, kind of, like, like tossing and turning in my sleep, because it's like, how could this have happened? You know, like how could we really have fallen out? We talked all the time, talked every day and all that kind of stuff. And we talked about other stuff and, like, stay up all night talking about nonsense as in addition to doing our podcast. But it was like, I don't know what happened, but this guy just decided that, like, he didn't care about anymore based upon his actions. And, It was one of the, I think that was the last real kind of like breaking up I've done in the kind of like that kind of friendship way. And it was also bad because like people are like wondering where the show going. Like I don't think it's ever been really publicly expressed.
Except here.
Oh yeah, yeah. Like I mean even years later, people will still ask me about that. And of course, I have a habit of like leaving a lot of shows mysteriously. So
like a gunslinger off in the sunset.
Yeah, exactly. I just come into town and then like leave. I think the only show where I've ever like left on my own terms was The Next Dimension, which of course we both did. But like of course we brought that back, and now it's on constant hiatus. But yeah, it was like, to me, I always think about like he was like our Magneto, where like he was once a dear friend, but now like, kind of an enemy kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate. And I don't really know how that necessarily happens, where people just change like that. But you know, it's one that I've learned to live with, and I don't really. It's a thing where I don't question myself, which might be a problem. But it's like, no, I didn't do anything. I just asked, why is he behaving this way? And he just didn't give me a good enough answer. So, like, of course, that's my perspective, and it's a biased perspective, and it's subjective, and you probably shouldn't believe me. But genuinely, to the best of my memory, which is sharp as a tack, that was like, yeah, that was like the last death of a friendship. And ever since then, like it, should I have a friend who we have a disagreement with, I try to. And of course, there were times where I can be kind of salty and kind of pissy and kind of not treat people well if I'm feeling a certain kind of way. But I don't. If it's somebody that I value, I try to pony up to my mistakes, and or at least if there's a disagreement, try to get to the bottom of it without And of course, this sounds very preachy or whatever, but honestly, if we ever have a disagreement. Or a final argument, I try to like kind of salvage it, and I think my friendships have kind of progressed for that. They've been stronger; they've not been weakened because of that. And yeah, I don't know. I think friendships will survive if it's not a matter of proximity and different directions in one's life, and they kind of end violently, for lack of a better phrase. I think it's a question of maturity. Whether they'll survive or not. That's the long untold tale of Amazing Spider-Man. Our podcast.
Oh, Jesus.
You heard it here. And it's the last place you'll hear it.
I mean, that story really really touches my heart too, because I was that guy for my group of friends. Not necessarily in terms of like changing so much, and it was different because this would have been high school as opposed to as an adult. But I think a symptom of your Magneto would definitely be taking friendships for granted. That was definitely my sin growing up. I just never really appreciated or really took the time to appreciate what I had. And I think it was just because, or part of it was because, my best friend was my next door neighbor. And so that was just like, well, I mean, I guess like friendships are just so automatic that you don't really have to put any work into them. And also, I mean, in terms of like interests or mutual interests, like I had such a hard time grappling with my own interests, growing up and even now, like I never really considered myself, part of a fandom, even if I was a fan of something. Like the way my fandom manifested was just always just so frustratingly different than everybody else's, which makes me sound like a special teen perhaps, but I mean, maybe that's how I felt. I think also, because I have no memory of what I just said. The note about it's crazy. My mind is insane right now. The note about how
losing friends forever.
That is definitely an interesting touch point here. And for me, like, because like when you were talking about like I've never had a friendship that like was that I've lost sleep over. Like I thought you were going to say that. Has kind of ended dramatically, and that was kind of my thing. Like I haven't really, like a friendship of mine has never really ended over like blows, except for just one time. And so in college, I kind of realized that like, oh, well, like all of my friends from high school are just gone, and I had to kind of realize that we weren't friends anymore, even if we were still friendly. It was just like the relationship was just so devoid of any like, I don't know, content, because this is how we think now. And it was kind of sad. It was like, oh, like I was supposed to do something. And it was definitely my fault. Like, I'm not saying that it wasn't. But we were also just such different people. And that wasn't just about interests. It was about, I mean, I guess everything's interests, like ambitions or just character. Like the way I was, who was just kind of intermittently earnest, but also incredibly cynical. Like, that just didn't vibe with this other guy, who was like just this constant stoner, but he never did drugs. Like his like style of internet humor was like Homestar Runner and Knox's Corner, which I love too, but I could never really attain that level of irony. I was just like way too passionate, but also not like way too like, I don't know, sissified to like ever, or like reverse sissified. Like, I didn't want to show emotions or whatever. So it was just like in that way too. Like, I've done a lot, way too much analytical thinking of like the psychologies of my friendships, but, and I think also like growing up and watching TV and movies and noting how adult friendships were portrayed, like it seemed like adults never really had friends. They just had their significant others or family or something. And my parents too, like we would have like neighborhood parties, but it would just be people from the neighborhood. And like my dad, like he would talk about his friends, but they were mostly people from work who I would never meet. And then my mom would have various friends who were mostly mothers of different kids in our class. I think she had more friends related to people in my class than I did, which is pretty good. But I think that in college also there was this kind of, I don't know, like lasting theory that like you just after college, you just don't have friends anymore. Like, that's just a condition of adulthood. And that was kind of borne out in my life. Because I moved and just left everybody behind anyway. And I never developed the skill of making friends, which is fine. I mean, I think between our relationship, like it was very much, I mean, not like one-sided in terms of the quote unquote courtship, but I remember you sent an email and I didn't respond to that email for 8 months, I think, because I didn't see it. That was the podcast email. Like, I'm not going to check that. Like, the way that our friendship kind of developed was probably kind of awkward in the beginning, but I don't remember, because I feel like it was very, like, project-based. Like, we would be like, hey, do you want to, like, do an episode together? If you don't, totally cool. Like, it was like, you know.
Oh, sure, no pressure, man.
You were definitely the last friend I've made. I mean, arguably, Jan is a friend of mine, but... I mean, we don't really talk regularly, obviously. And then there are like podcast people who I like, and they would like we're Twitter mutuals, but that doesn't really count. That kind of thing. But yeah, I don't know. Like, friendship has always been kind of this abstract thing to me that is important, but not really like, I don't think I ever thought of it as essential as it is. And that's kind of been my personal downfall and definitely one of my regrets.
You know, it's funny because I've talked a lot about, you know, like friendships I have, friendships that I enjoy now, friendships I had in the past. What is that? I think if you were to listen to me and hear me, you know, basically brag about how great my life is, ha ha ha. Like, I'm actually trying to think about it now, but you might have a sense that, like, you know, you might not know how lonely I am inside. No, not really, but like, I mean, I don't. There's still that sense of. I don't know. I think that like what makes people friends is the, you know, a shared quality of thinking that I know I've mentioned before, but it's always to a certain point, right? So I would also say that oftentimes I'm fine kind of just being alone as well, I guess. Not that I'm alone now, I'm not really, but, like, you know, there are times, like, when I first started college and I was an art major, that was kind of a clicky, that was a very clicky kind of era where I did not make friends easily, at least in my school. My art majors were kind of dicks.
Big shocker. Wah.
I mean, that was like, the ground floor of, like, the birth of the real millennial hipster persona.
You could have gotten in the ground floor.
I saw it happen right before my eyes, and I didn't like the future. But and that puts illness on me, whatever. But like, I'm very much stuck in my ways. But like, And I don't know, like when I worked at the hotel for about a year and a half, I was like the youngest person by far. Not that I wasn't friendly with my coworkers, but like I did feel, you know, I kind of miss working people around my own age. And, like, of course, at Papa John's, when I left there, everyone was like much younger than I was. So I have felt like, you know, not so much. I should say that like I can be friendly with people quite easily, but like you know, it is a rare thing to have like, you know, a Harry shoot or a insert other friends in my supporting cast here, but it's not as common. So like generally when I'm kind of, you know, roaming throughout my cycle throughout the day and I'm by myself, it's fine. I don't necessarily, I've never really, well, I don't know, maybe I'm trying to think to myself, how do I define myself through my friendships? And I don't think I do. You know, I have friends, you know, that reflect some level of self-esteem or whatever. But I guess I still feel like you, just like when it where it counts, I'm always going to be different than my friends. Not in a way which is like, you know, like awful or whatever, or bad or whatever. But it's just matter of fact, like I'm just going to be myself, and like that's a very singular perspective that only exists with me, and I'm not really bothered by that. Maybe I'm too old to be worried about how many friends I have. Because I'm kind of like, you know, like at some point you just have to start to kind of, you know, really rely on yourself in terms of how you see yourself. But maybe I can say that because I have a luxury of I do have enough friends where I'm not worried about that. So maybe it's kind of a hypocrisy for me to kind of say, friends are no big deal. Like when you said that, like friends are so important, I'm like, yes, they are. I think for, you know, for just kind of learning how people are and for your self-esteem and that kind of stuff. But I've never felt bad at myself because of a whole group of people not liking me. I mean, well, that's not true. I did, especially when I was younger. But I would always reach a point where at some point I would just kind of cease caring. Because I don't know. It's really hard to kind of, I'm sure you don't have no idea what I'm talking about right now, but it's a kind of like sense of self and how friendship reflects upon that. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
What do you think? Like, do you think, do you think that, have you defined your, how, to what extent would you define yourself through the people that know you? Or do you think it's just sort of like, you know, you and then every other person else in a sort of a separate bubble?
I mean, I think that's always the ambition, but that's never actually the case. Like, I mean, I think a lot of my own kind of self-driven characterization has been or has come via thinking about how other people perceive me, and specifically my friends and family. How do I appear on the outside? And I think, you know, a note about friendships being important, like it's not, I mean, I think it's there's almost a kind of dark reasoning there. Which is kind of like, it's important to know that people exist, and it's important to care about people, I think, in terms of like the themes of this podcast, like for the purpose of communication and for the purpose of society, I think friendship is very important. It is a different kind of affection than love or romantic love or sexual love or anything like that, and I think it's an important one. But yeah, in terms of defining myself, like my college roommate and I, who I really just like, I mean, I think we both considered ourselves just like clones of each other, which is really why we were never meant to be. Because another reason why I kind of like lost all of my friends without realizing is because I mean, when I was younger, I was a real dick. And it wasn't really because of my next door neighbor. I mean, he was kind of like brusque and didn't like new people, and that kind of rubbed off on me. But there was definitely an element of like, I just was not a fundamentally kind person, but I was also just so insular that it didn't matter. Like people never noticed, which was fine. Like if you ask anybody from my high school class, they'd be like, "Oh yeah, he was nice." But if they knew me,
if they only saw you.
Yeah. Or if I ever like spoke ever or talked to them, or spoke like a truth about how I felt about anybody. Which isn't to say that I was like so hateful. I was just like, I don't know.
I mean, like I feel somewhat hypocritical because I very much have a egotistical, I never get it straight, like the ego, the superego, but I have very much a sense of self where it's like, I sure want people to think I'm cool, but it's been kind of like watered down as I've gotten older. Well, maybe because I've become that person, but like more so really it's like I kind of feel that like people are just so different that it matters much less to me.
Yeah.
I was actually kind of being an asshole on Facebook earlier today, because I woke up and I went on Twitter and got in a really bad mood, and so like someone had asked me like, you know, what do you think if Gerard Butler was Batman, and I was like, fuck that guy.
I wish you fell down the hole.
Yeah. That was the time he's just acting up, and but it's that kind of thing where like I would never really behave that way before. I was never kind of an internet jerk or anything like
troll,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but now it's like at some point I just like it's weird. I have points where I stop caring, and that's not really great. I don't. You only do that when people are being mean to you. When people are not doing that, then that's not a good thing to kind of indulge in. And that's something that I dislike from anybody who behaves that way. So do what I mean, not what I say.
There's the risk when we talk about stuff on this podcast.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't know. I guess the question for the listeners would be that, I guess how much has friendship in the way that you made friends and the way that you've lost friends and the way that you keep friends, how much has that changed you for the better or for the worse? I mean, people wouldn't know if it's for the worse, unless they absolutely hate each other, hate themselves. But like, I don't know. Because I guess there's no real right or wrong answer to this. Like the friendships that I've lost, they don't necessarily demand to be regained. You know, I'm fine.
Right.
So it's not as though that like it's not as though we could have saved the world together, like Xavier Magneto. It's not that kind of scenario. And I think that like since then, the friendships that I've gained have been stronger. They've been about more, not tangible, but like there's more to them than shared interests. I think there's a sense of what's right and wrong, or what's at least what should be right in the world that we share, that is more expressed and more kind of like, you know, discussed than it was when I was younger. Of course, you know, kids don't really talk about that when they're younger, but like now I think that like in this urgent age of ours, we're a lot more open with what matters to us. And if those are new ideas from one person to another, we want to share those and kind of like reciprocate it and pass it forward, I think. And maybe it's not so much the nature of friendship and ourselves, but just like kind of the times that we live in and just kind of the nature of, I guess, the times that we live in, I suppose.
And speaking of the times that we live in, I mean, I think one of the great utilities of friendship, and this sounds so reductive, but I mean, I think that there is specific social utility to friendships, because the way I kind of begin to imagine the better tomorrow that we're all striving for in terms of one of the inroads to reach that is for each of us to kind of see everybody else as a friend or a potential friend. That is kind of like the end goal, and then it's just a matter of how do we get there. And so I think, yeah, I mean, thinking about the friendships that we've had and the processes by which we maintain them and the kind of soul searching we do after we lose them, like that is kind of exercising a muscle of tolerance and intolerance. And that is definitely certainly related to what's going on in the world now, and that's the backbone of society. So I think, I don't know. That was kind of more of a maybe an early concluding thought. So oops.
No, it's fine. I mean, I don't know. Like, friends of friends, I guess. I mean, this is kind of, you know, something we really couldn't like really speak towards. But like, I mean, it's not as though I don't think people could make friends primarily like, throughout their life based on how other people would do them. So I don't know how my brother makes friends.
Right.
Like he's 2 years older than I am. I have no idea. Like he has a best buddy from college that he still hangs out with like all the time. I've never met the guy.
Oh, wow.
So like I you know, and like, you know, my brother's a cool guy. Like my mom was worried that he never makes friends, but I don't know why that is. He's perfectly nice. But like friends of my friends, I get like my buddies like Stella or Josh. Like they're so weird that I see how they can get friends based on that personality. That's nothing to do with, you know, their affection for comic books. But like it's not as though that like how they come off would influence how I would come off to somebody else, you know.
Right.
Like our friends kind of, you know, our friends are definitely influence us. But I don't know how much that would lend to like making friends based on how we interact with other, from people beforehand. Like, I don't know if, because that sounds like, you know, you would be kind of putting on a front and, like, you know, masquerading a persona for other people based on somebody that might exist but isn't you. That's kind of a weird thing to say. I don't know why I brought it up, but, like, I don't know. I'm not sure what I was saying. But from here, where do we go? What do you think? Like, we've talked about friends we've made, friends we've lost, how that reflects upon us. Like, what else might there be to this?
Well, let's see. I guess, like, nowadays, because we are both, you know, post-college, in that weird space between adulthood and a more traditional adulthood, which may not even exist anymore, so we could just be there already.
Not until I'm 40, probably.
40 or, like, you know, married with children, like, that seems pretty adult to me. And, you know, I also have people in my graduating class who have already done that. But, like, I guess it's, like, I don't know, like, maybe this isn't even that compelling of a discussion point, but, like, what would you kind of look for in a new friend? Like, say you did kind of move to a new city, or, I mean, you just got a new job, like, you were kind of faced with a host of new people. Like, how would you kind of go about making friends, basically, in a new environment?
It's hilarious, because the orientation day that I had, it was me and this one other person, and it's a really nerdy kid, like 18 years old, still in high school, and he was kind of like we were kind of waiting while the person was kind of, you know, going on the computer doing some stuff, and he started this, like, very geekily randomly saying something like, "Oh, that looks like a TARDIS or whatever," and I'm like, "Oh, that's kind of cool." I mean, it's much more kind of, like, expressive than I would have been, but that's nice. And I think, like, he started talking about, like, Supernatural or whatever, and mentioned that, and the person was like, "I'm gonna ask you a question, and I think your answer will be no, but have you seen Steven Universe?" And I was like, "It's my favorite show," and, like, okay, that's a new friend already gained.
Yes.
And I was like, that's not you know, that's a very weird example, but, like, I think with like, for instance, with work, you know, we're all going through the same stuff. Like there were a number of people hired after I was, where I was kind of showing them the ropes and kind of showing them how to do certain transactions and look for books and that kind of stuff. So and I the way that I came off, you know, was less, "You do this, and, like, okay, yeah, kind of being a little more ingratiating, kind of saying, okay, well, expect this around this time, you know, the business will be like this around this time of day, in this situation, this is kind of tricky or whatever. And I guess kind of, like, affecting your personality in a situation that could either go very, you know, kind of very clinical and, you know, kind of like, basically, a person who doesn't want to have anything to do with you would interact with you in a situation a certain way, or a person who would not mind being your friend would interact in another way. And I guess that's sort of, like, how I come off with coworkers, you know, like, just never really giving them an impression that I'm annoyed with them, or I'm mad at them, or I don't like them, or I'm not eager to talk to them or whatever. And I mean, like, you know, we're all friendly. I mean, I would say that, like, because I'm still kind of new there technically, but, like, while we may not be straight up friends, you know, we're coworkers. I don't think any of us would mind for us, like, 10 years down the line, "Oh, he's a friend of mine," or, mm-hmm. "Or we are friends," that kind of thing. I think that's how you kind of, like, that's the basic first level of the platforming game of friendship. what do you think?
Well, I mean, also, friendship has been kind of so gamified, not only in terms of you react or you act and react differently on Twitter, because there's, like, you can get, like, a bunch of favorites or likes, I guess, where normally maybe you wouldn't have said that thing, but also in terms of Facebook. Like, Facebook had this kind of magical way of kind of codifying levels of relationship where, you know, if you were dating somebody, it was like a question of, like, if you were Facebook official, and that really seemed like,
oh yeah,
a really good way to separate, oh, I'm just dating this person, or I have been going on dates with them with girlfriend, boyfriend, but even kind of before that step. And then with friends, it's like, I have, I don't know, not that many friends on Facebook, probably 200, and I really only have less than 10 friends, for real. So all those, so hundreds of people then are quote-unquote friends, but not really friends, and so it kind of casts into greater relief what that word even means. And I've kind of always seen the label of friend as kind of a high barrier, kind of like the label of writer or feminist or something. It's like, well, you know, I don't want to presume and call you a friend of mine, because that's kind of like a two-way thing, and communication being what it is nowadays, it's not always two ways, even if it is after a fashion. Like, it's so weird. But yeah, I mean, in terms of like making new friends in a new place, like there are services that exist that allow you to do that. When Cassandra and I first moved out to Los Angeles, we roomed together, and she was interested in meeting as many people as she could, and she actually had like a series of awful relationships out of the gate because she for some reason started using dating sites as like meetup apps, which, fine, whatever. I mean, I'm sure it worked at some point, but she did like she met up with guys, and I kept saying, like, you know, guys have a certain expectation, like they think that you are interested in them in a different way, and they don't understand how female friendships work. And so that was kind of unfortunate. But
did you guys go to school together, or did you guys meet when you guys roomed together?
Oh yeah, that's true. I should probably explain that. my imaginary friend Cassandra. No, it was in, I think it was like sophomore or junior year. We had never spoken because, you know, it was a boy girl. And I'd just seen her kind of around, and she actually ran for class president once. And I remember that, and I always tell her about that, and she's like, stop mentioning that. And like, she was just like another kind of abstract person. And then one day she like flagged me down in the hall, and she was like, hey, like, are you like into like movies and stuff? And I was like, yeah. Like, her. It's like, oh, it's like, you know, oh, hello there, it's a girl. Like, I was so taken aback.
It's a trap.
Yeah. And she was like, yeah, we should like totally talk. It's basically like the scenario in all TV shows that never ever happens to people in real life.
That's nice.
It happened to me. I won the lottery. And she was like very aggressive. And I remember not really wanting to be her friend at the beginning, honestly, which is awful. But she was like super nice and super supportive in a way that I look back on now, and kind of think like that wasn't so great. Especially the way that our relationship kind of evolved, in terms of her kind of thinking of me as like, I mean, essentially as egotistical as I am, but I'm not in not so many words, but just like, I mean, I am the main character of my life basically. And I think she could kind of tell. But I mean, in the early days it was like, she was encouraging us to be friends. And I was like, well, sure. I mean, I've never said no to a new friend basically, but I'm just the worst at maintaining friendships. I remember that none of my other friends wanted to be friends with her too. I don't know. What is it, just nerds that just don't like girls or something? Is that a thing? I couldn't possibly know this.
A girl? That's so gay.
Yeah, exactly. That is, I mean, that sums up the male experience from the 90s to the 2000s or, you know, from the last decade. I think without my mom, basically, we wouldn't have been friends for as long as we were, because my mom was like very interested, because, you know, she her one son never showed interest in girls or anything, finally has the opportunity to have a friend who is a girl and maybe a girlfriend. So she was like, you know, why don't you ask her over, and why don't you maybe she could. And like, even to the day, like when my parents come out, or my mom and my younger sister, she's like, oh, why don't you call up Cassandra, like 3,000 miles away, she's still like deputizing my friendship with Cassandra. And we still keep in touch, but we don't really, I mean, we're not like a regular duo as we might have been.
Gotcha.
In late high school. And we kind of diverged in college. Like, she went to Emerson in Boston, and then I went to Fitchburg in Fitchburg, which is this town that nobody knows about, exactly the way I like it. But yeah, I mean, that's been another interesting one. But I think that was probably the healthiest relationship I had from that era, because I mean, she was a girl, and that really makes a huge difference. She was the first person in my life who was a friend who was also a girl, other than a trans woman who had yet to come out. And then like early on, my mom like took me to like these weird Korean churches, and I had a buddy Caroline, because we were both adopted and she was a girl, but we never became friends in high school, which is weird that we went to the same high school. I guess it's not that weird, but it was weird that we didn't become friends, I guess, because we were fated. Friendly, sure, but, you know. But, yeah, I mean, it is so important to make friends with people who are not like you and who are of specific minority types, obviously. And so I think the interesting part of this incredibly long anecdote is that she took the initiative. And that is something that I would never have done. Like, I have never, ever initiated a friendship, ever. I've never been the guy to say, oh, I'm interested in this person. Let me try to be your friend. I don't know what that is, but it's just a fact. And so, like, I think that that's, like, really brave, especially because she had to shoulder a lot of rejection. This kind of passive-aggressive, like, I don't know if I want to be friends with you, but also outright rejection from my other friends who were just like, I don't want to be friends with this person.
That sucks.
It does suck. Hopefully we'll have Cassandra on at some point to actually, you'll actually hear her voice and to prove that she's not made up.
There's only three episodes of the Bone of the X.
Yes.
Unless that was like, you know, Google Translate or something like that.
It was just me doing a voice.
Mean God.
But yeah, I mean, I think that that's, it's just so impressive, weirdly, that, you know, somebody would just, and it made such a difference in my life, and it did make me feel special too. So I mean I think there's that kind of that truism that you read about if you read about, like, dating and stuff, that asking people, like, it's really scary, but there's pretty much no consequence other than a rejection, which is huge. Like, that's not to downplay that, but it will also inevitably flatter that person. Like, I think that that's kind of been mythology that we've kind of accepted. I don't know if that's always true for women, but for men, absolutely. I think, anyway. And whether or not my kind of response to Cassandra was tied up in sexuality, I'm not sure. I mean, we were also hormonal back then anyway. It's like, probably was. But
was the last time you saw her, the Women's March?
Yeah, in person. If that came before or after Ghostbusters, I can't remember. But yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember it. That's like this time last year was that, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't sign up for the new one. I'm lazy this time. I'm not a good person. But I ultimately, we were really good friends, but then we started living together, and I think we just kind of took each other for granted. Like, we stopped kind of taking the initiative because, like, what are we going to do? Oh, come over? Like, that kind of – that we stopped – we essentially forgot how to be friends, like, actively.
How long did you guys live together?
It was less than a year. So it was a few months, and we went through a lot together, a lot of various infestations for new apartment owners or renters or whatever, and stuff like that. Yeah, it was pretty gross. And we've tried to collaborate on, like, creative projects. So she's also creative, like just like I am. But yeah, that's the strange saga of myself and Cassandra. It's still ongoing.
Well, that's something that, like, that's an element of friendship that I'm glad you brought it up, because I have that too, where it's like, it's kind of like the person that you became friends with sort of later, but she was around in the background before, in a way. I have a couple of friends, like there's a guy who went to high school with me, I presume all 4 years, I never talked to. And when I went to, you know, there was a handful of us from Father Ryan High School who went to UTC, and I was an art major for 2.5 years, and it was weird because, like, when I transitioned to being an English major, a number of my friends just became the art major. Like, they kind of followed me that way.
Nice.
But, like, I think he was already an art major. He was just in our art major, so we ended up having some classes together. He was really good, and I just like got to know him better. I mean, I like, he was a perfectly cool guy. I mean, like, you know, we kind of had the same, you know, kind of group of friends I mentioned before in college, but, like, it was, yeah, we had zero things to say to each other beforehand, but, like, when you kind of, like, are in a different environment, you can kind of thrive in that way. A number of people from high school I kind of got to know better throughout college. But also, like, there's a really good friend of mine named Sharina. Like, she started working at the Kroger I was at forever, my senior year of high school. And when I went away to college, she was still there, and, like, I would come back to work in the summer. She's always there, and she had seen me kind of go through some relationships of my own. And then, like, she would go to the community college there, and we're still friends. I mean, like, you know, we've both since left that store. And we see each other like a few times a year. I mean, we kind of live like, I guess, 20 minutes away from each other, but like we're really good friends, and we kind of have that kind of like, you know, black people versus the world thing going on. We're like, we both have kind of, you know, in terms of working together, kind of dealt with like a certain type of angry white customer. We both, you know, we both went to see Get Out, which was a lot of fun. She came with, she's come with me to see like goofy movies like Power Rangers and stuff. we've kind of stayed, we've kind of gone out and like we went to this one club and like, she's like, oh, you gotta try this one drink. And I took this gulp of this like some drink and it instantly threw up.
Oh my God. He was huge. He was cooked in a bathtub.
Yeah, I don't know. We kind of had that thing where it's like, you know, we're not like, you know, like sort of the hip, but it's like we kind of have this like loyal friendship where, you know, every now and then we'll just, you know, kind of like reconnect, and it's a lot of fun. And like, you know, it's a thing where like, it's been about 10 years, yeah, I think, since we've known each other, and like we've gone through a lot on our own, but it's been a friendship that's kind of lasted just different situations where I mentioned before, well, it depends on, you know, the dimensions you're in and like where you were living or whatever. Maybe not. I think everyone's different, I suppose. And it's cool. I like the idea that like, you kind of get to know somebody better after the fact. By the way, there is a girl who went to high school with me. And again, I never talked to her, but she was actually the girlfriend of like, the good friend that I mentioned before in the podcast, one of those. She became an actress, and like she's in the Chai.
Whoa, really?
Yeah. Shout out to Christina Emerson, who doesn't listen to this podcast, but like, I know she was. I know that she had a small stint on like an MTV show that was canceled, but like, yeah, she's in the Chai, and wow. She was talking about on Facebook. So I'm not sure, because I've not seen this show yet. I'm not sure which character she is, but I think she's like gonna be it for a little bit. So yeah, that was the only one thing. Yeah, I mean, of all the people who graduated in the class of 2007, like one of them turned out to be on shows, which is pretty cool. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. But yeah, that I think that I like the idea of like, you know, kind of getting to know somebody a little bit later on, and I think I'm wondering if that's been a case. I think it's probably been the kind of the strongest cases of that.
Oh, kind of just so distracted now. That's so cool, though.
Oh, did you look her up?
Yeah, I mean, I watched the pilot when I was home for winter break, but I can't remember. Oh, was she the?
I've not seen it, but yeah, she's Filipino American, so like she kind of has that like, I mean, she's very beautiful.
Yes.
But I remember, she was like she's gonna be a model sometime when she graduates. But like, I never knew she went into acting until like a couple years ago, because I forgot the name of the show, but she was, I saw a clip of it, she was on an MTV show for a little bit, and like she has like an IMDb page and all that kind of stuff. I was like, damn, Christina?
Yeah. She was Jason Mitchell's boss, or I guess maybe the girlfriend of the boss, but she was like in charge of giving him a promotion, so 2 degrees of two degrees of separation between you and Jason Mitchell, at least.
ever getting closer.
Exactly. I was going to say, because I was like, oh, wait, which one did he play in Straight Outta Compton? But it was, in fact, Eazy-E, so that's just two. what the... So I guess, what do we talk about now?
We've reached that point. Yeah, I don't know. All the potentials for... This episode is not what's the future of friendship, but like the last episode was. But it is one of those things where, like, do you think friendships, because of social media, and like we mentioned, like, kind of unfriending and blocking all that kind of stuff, and, you know, even admiration of people, like, you know, like people very proudly proclaim on Twitter, I love this person until now, and I'll never speak to them again, this celebrity that I never talked to. Like, do you think that friendships extendedly have become more brittle or more fragile in the way of that? Or do you think that like it's just kind of either the same as maybe it's always been, or maybe even stronger? Like, what do you think the strength level of making friends is compared to, like, you know, the good old days of pre-social media?
I mean, I do think about that a lot, but it's so hard for us in this generation to tell, because we've kind of come of age as the internet has. So I don't know what we would have been like before or supposedly after. But yeah, I mean, I think it would kind of be okay if relationships or friendships were more brittle, because it kind of shows you who you really care about, I guess. Mm-hmm. Even if you already know, I guess there's just more kind of inroads to say, see you later, girl, or whatever. What is that? Avril Lavigne? I don't even know what I'm saying
Bye,
anymore.
Felicia.
Yes, that's the more contemporary reference. I do like my skater boy. but yeah, I mean, yeah, that's something too, is the kind of the measure of a friendship. Something to always keep in mind. And also another thing that just occurred to me, not to pivot now, is being a bit nostalgic as we have been and looking over our past friendships. I can definitely see now how in college I definitely could have like initiated some friendships, and I just didn't. And I wish I knew why I didn't, but I think part of it must have been about confidence. And we've talked about that before with dating, that, you know, a friendship would naturally begin with you. And for me, a lot like with dating, like it just never, like the possibility was just so remote that it just wasn't, like my priorities were just so different that I remember in a writing class, like, you know, we would share our original works and they would all be terrible. But there was this one guy who, like, the writing was pretty rough, like structurally, but he had like such a voice. And I felt like nobody else in the class, like, was really picking up on it or appreciated it. And I wasn't either, because I wasn't saying anything.
Was it Tommy Wiseau?
Yeah, exactly. and like, there was that was like an opening. Like, if as we were leaving, like, I could have just went over and been like, hey, man, like, I that work, like, stuck out to me or something, or like anything. Like, even in another writing class where we had shared our original works, and as we were leaving, somebody was like, hey, man, you're like, that was great. Like, that essay was like really amazing. You hit it out of the park. And I was like, thanks. And that was it. Like, I didn't follow up. He didn't follow up. So maybe he was just like me. But it's weird. But I think it's all about, I think you kind of have to master yourself first. And I think ironically, that does kind of take outside influence. Like, you have to kind of have friends to make friends, unfortunately, like everything in our world. And so the maintenance of those friendships, thinking about whether or not they're brittle or strong, I think that's kind of a good starting point. That's a good guide, to kind of ask yourself, well, what do I need to do? If this relationship is more brittle than I'd like it, what do I need to do to change that? But a lot of it is the infrastructure to which the friendships exist, because they exist in so much infrastructure now, whether social media or whatever. And it can be hard to, I mean, we're all so busy, you know, doing things. So I don't know. What were you thinking?
Well, I was thinking of, I did have a thought. No, I'm blinking. I was thinking of like what you said about, you know, you kind of have to master yourself. And that's, I think, is super true. Like, you know, if you really want to, like, have, you know, kind of like, I think it'll be easier to make friends and it'd be easier to kind of get on dates or whatever if you just have at least a basic icon in your brain of, you know, the 8-bit version of yourself that's always going to be, you know, be that thing. And then the girl do a 16-bit and 32-bit or whatever. But, like, just... When you, I think people these days feel like they break off friendships based on, you know, somebody being evil or something, rather than, like, you know, kind of like a lack of energy into it. Because I feel that, like, if it's a lack of energy and, like, you know, you kind of meet somebody later on and it's awkward and you don't know how to interact with that person, that's a shame. But if you really appreciate where that one stood for, you can kind of, I feel that you can kind of, you know, go beyond that. Like the friendship, the friend I had, I mentioned earlier, where, like, you know, we were kind of different, but, and we didn't really see each other too much, but every few years, when we do see each other, it all kind of comes back in a weird way. And I think that's kind of the mark of real friendship and a real mature group of people who really understand what they do have, and will understand what the other person meant to them. And I think that's the kind of thing, too, is, like, it is, you know, it is a relationship. You know, you got to put energy into it. You got to put care into it. You got to kind of cultivate it. And it's not so much, you know, it's not like, you know, like a plan or whatever, but you get what you put into it, I think, which is a phrase that has been said before, but I think it makes the times that are tough and the times that kind of, you know, test your friendship kind of really kind of narrows it down to how important is this person to you really, and how important is your sense of self where you're kind of like pondering that, you know. I think if you really have a problem with what your friend is doing, then I think that you're either being made aware of who that person really is, or who you really are, or the same thing. And when that happens, I think that if you're able to kind of get beyond it, you'll appreciate the person even more, because you're letting them know the type of person that you are in a way which matters to you. In a way which they can kind of continue on and kind of being friends towards that person, and not, you know, a person of a less interested kind of like performative persona.
Mm-hmm. I kind of want to push on this area a little bit, because it's got me to think about resolving conflicts in friendships. And I've never really had to do that or done that successfully. Like, you know, the old adage growing up was that men will just, like, if they have a problem, they'll just, like, beat the shit out of each other. But women, they'll just withhold things and, like, go around each other's backs and, like, backstab. Like, that's not true. Like, me,
not even,
like,
kind of.
My group of friends was, like, so non-confrontational. Like, we would just never, ever raise an issue if we had one. We would just let things fester until the friendship was no more. Or we would just break things off. And, like, I don't think that that's – I mean, that's probably just a mark that it wasn't meant to be, which is – I mean, that's probably a stupid parameter anyway. Like, why think about things in terms of, like, fate or some shit? It's what you have now and, you know, work that if it's working. But we just never did. And so, like, have you – like, can you kind of cite – and this is like a job interview. Can you cite an example of when you've had an issue with one of your friends and you, like, worked through that? Like, what was that process like?
Oh, yeah, I remember, like the only time, like, Josh and I disagreed on a lot of things, but, like, it's always, like kind of in jest and fun. Mm-hmm. Like, we're Flash Thompson and Gwen Stacy ever dating or whatever, that kind of thing. But, like, there was one time, I mean, this is, like, it's also Inside Baseball for a podcast, but, there was just a confusion of communication, and he ended up really pissed off, in terms of, like, a podcast schedule. Like, he thought that, like, I was, like, not caring about his work schedule, and I genuinely misunderstood him, but it was more a thing where, like he was, you know, it was really, it was the most angry we got at each other, but a day later, we were both kind of, like, embarrassed.
Yeah.
And, like, it was only a matter of time, we're like, hey, and, like, you know, we very quickly kind of made up, that kind of thing, but, I don't know, other times, I think it's always awkward to kind of confront somebody that you really, really like if you have a problem with them, but... I think it's always easy. I think it's easier than you have in your head when that kind of happens. Unless you know that the person's going to kind of blow up anyway. Like, if you really value somebody and you have a real problem with them, and you think that this can potentially kind of go dangerously, I think my experience is usually kind of like, you know, okay. It's usually the times that really surprise you that kind of lead to, like, you know, the worst case scenarios of like, you know, people that you think were kind of safe in that way. So I guess it's like the people that you might be more similar to that might end up being a little bit more fragile than, like, the people who are different, who might surprise you in terms of how they might react.
Yeah, that's been my experience. Like, the more similar to somebody I am, usually the more issues we have. And I think maybe it's just because I'm such a self-hating person. Like, that's not meant to be, like, a you know, an appeal to pathos. It's just, man, people are like that. And so when I attract somebody who's like me, we're going to hate each other because we see ourselves in each other. And so that makes communication pretty weird. Especially when you do get to that point, like that we were mentioning earlier with, like, the Ghost in the Shell trailer movie, like, you have certain levels of communication that go unspoken, like certain understandings, lines that you just don't broach. And I think that you just kind of build up an unspoken repartee with somebody, or that's not the right word, but a kind of a lexicon of mm-hmm. mutual understanding of just how the relationship functions, which is just natural, but at that point it can kind of block out the possibility for certain talking points or you know, that kind of thing.
Well, it also, like time also has something to do with it too. Like, you know, like the first year will be different than, like, the fifth year. So it's right. Like, you know, you can have, like, you know, kind of late night discussions about, you know, your deepest, darkest fears. Or you can, you know, I don't know, talk about an action movie and start quoting Krispy Kreme motherfuckers or whatever.
The best kinds of friendships.
Oh, absolutely. So yeah, I think time also has something to do with it too. I think that, like, the best friendships are the ones kind of that do last a long time, and those are the ones that you try to care for more, if they have been just frequent enough. And if they've not been frequent enough, you know, then they might kind of, you know, they might end up burning out eventually. But, you know, I think you'll never, like, I've never regretted a friendship unless it ended up with me in jail or something like that. I've never been in that situation.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've definitely had toxic friendships over the years, but there is that kind of, like, retrospect of fate, which is like, well, they all contributed to who I am now, and I guess I'm thankful for who I am. So yeah, I mean, I don't know. There wasn't anything more, I guess.
Give me an A, buddy. Squidward is my best friend in the world. Squidward is my best friend in the sea. Squidward
likes Patrick more than SpongeBob.
And Patrick is a dirty, stinky, rotten sealer. I can fix this.
We have one email, a returning email from our pal Fennel. He writes back to us. He writes back, post note. I wrote all this before I saw your latest podcast on checking bias, which I think may have sort of explored my original query, though I've yet to listen to it. We'll do so quite soon. Hey, Donovan, thanks for trying to get the name right. It's pronounced like kennel with an F, so Fennel and Harry. Thank you both for trying to address my question. I want to apologize for sending one that was a bit underdeveloped. While you guys brought some interesting points about forming one's identity in relation to stereotypes, I was thinking more along the lines of the shorthand way that most people in a generally politically correct society still categorize people. Everyone who is considered enlightened is supposed to be beyond such things, but how many people ever really evolve beyond the convenience of them? Stereotyping is intrinsic to racism and classism, and I suppose I'm hardly entirely beyond stereotyping myself.
Hmm.
It's an interesting one.
That definitely clears it up, too.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. I mean, something my mom constantly does. I mean, she says things that, like, I think the internet would label racist, and I would, too. But I know that, like, she has no idea what she's saying. So it's like, you know, it's kind of stereotyping racism kind of thing. But, I don't know, because I feel that, like, it's just a kind of an evolution of society, I suppose. Like I was watching a movie where, you know, like there was a foreign character in it, and, you know, the comment upon the foreign character went back and forth, kind of, you know, just like stereotyping and racist jokes, and, like, you know, kind of like celebrating who he was, but also being kind of stereotyping at the same time, kind of like plainly ignorant. It's like, and I felt like, you know, this isn't worth an Etsy, because this is just how kind of, like, interaction with that kind of goes. And I don't want to necessarily make an excuse for it, but it's just kind of the nature of opposing backgrounds interacting throughout media or whatever. I'm not sure what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, I also think that stereotyping, while definitely bad, and, you know, part and parcel to racism, comes from a very human psychological, which is just that, you know, we talked a little bit about it, or maybe suggested that we were going to talk about it last time, with bias. But, like, you know, there are certain evolutionary traits that we developed as, you know, human beings, that we group people together because it's easier to process information that way. And, you know, when you see a woman appear, there's just certain data that gets processed, like, oh, she's a woman, that means something. Oh, wait, it actually doesn't, but it kind of does. It is also further complicated when there are parts of stereotypes and archetypes and even racism that people have kind of come to identify with. And that is the ultimate frustration as an internet liberal, when you're like,
oh, yeah,
you just kind of, like, you're kind of blindly saying, like, things that you thought of as sexist or racist are bad, but then it was like, well, wait a minute, you know, like, actually, like, I've come to, or not like I've come to enjoy this, or, but, you know, there are certain, this isn't really the case, but, like, let's say if it was, you're trying to fight for the cause of, making Asian men less castrated or whatever it is, like, feminized or whatever, and so you end up kind of being homophobic by way of doing that, like, not really, but, like, you just never really know what people are going to kind of characterize themselves by. You might have like a flamboyantly gay person in your office and you're like, you're not a good example of your kind, but you can't say that or even believe that. And so that is, I mean, that's just one factor. And I think another one is that it's just, it can be hard to disconnect.
Well, that goes back to our very first episode about, like, you know, stereotypes and, like, you know, pride in who you are and that kind of thing, where, like, I think when you're speaking about other people, I think you really just have to kind of go based on, you know, the from what you perceive as the most, like, you know, like a neutral, harmless thing, which doesn't mean anything, because you gotta kind of go to, like, how people of a certain kind of group characterize themselves in a very in a positive way. But when it comes to yourself, like, you don't want people, if you're a certain background, you don't want people to propagate this type of sort of, like, performative identity that not only you don't identify with, but you find to be, like, kind of just, like, this sort of, like, just negative aspect of it in response to other negative identities. And so it's kind of this gigantically fucked thing, where, you know, not only can you not win, but it's also, like, you know, kind of like just, like, going back and forth with, like, oh, I hate these people, but also I hate parts of myself, but this is who I am, or whatever. It's all over the place, and I think that's also kind of getting away from the point of your question. But I think it's something that we've, if you've not listened to our first episode, I suggest you don't. it's something that, like, Harry as a black man and I as an Asian man have kind of contended with, and I'm standing by it. We're like, Just how, you know, people perceive us and how we perceive us and how we perceive people perceiving us, that kind of thing. And it's also something that we might come back to the sooner or later on this podcast, because it's one of those kind of, like, never-ending cursed topics of discussion.
Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, thank you very much, Fennel. If you guys want to give us your thoughts on this episode or Fennel's point or any other talking point, the email is qnoanswers@gmail.com. Also, join the Facebook page and send us your feedback and thoughts there. Next time on Q No Way, we have an idea for an episode. It's yet to be thoroughly finalized for the purposes of this announcement, but generally we're thinking about talking about LGBT representation in the media. It's something that we've talked about before, and not alone, and it's something we kind of want to narrow it down to. So, you know, we're thinking of films, modern films, old-timey films during the Hays Code, maybe, animation, television, gays and queer people in the media will be our next episode. So if you have thoughts on that or any other topic, again, our email is qnoanswers@gmail.com. Like our Facebook page, and post any thoughts you have on that page. And until the next episode, Harry, thoughts final you.
The day you and I stopped being friends was the most important day of your life. But for me, it was Tuesday.
You monsters! As Royal Julia laughs, crows over Mignonwin.
One of my ones.
My buddy, wherever I go, he go. My buddy. My buddy, you can run for your life, wanna stick him out the window. My buddy, I lay your ass out, motherfucker, it's simple. Stay in your place, I recommend, or say hello to my little friend.
Everywhere I go, I gotta tag along, cause my buzz getting strong and they mad I'm on. He ride with me when I pass them all, and wait for me on the bench when I run the game of basketball. One screw to make a bastard fall, gasp and crawl. You need a bulletproof vest, mask and all. Bring your buddy when it's time to roam, cause I got hit the last time I left mine.